Every New Year's Day, hundreds of people gather together on the banks of the Monongahela, a 130-mile-long river that begins in Fairmont, West Virginia, runs along a stretch of factories, steel mills, and power plants through the Mon Valley, and flows to Pittsburgh, where it converges with the Allegheny River at Point State Park to form the Ohio River. Once there, these people strip and dive in. New Year's Day, as you probably know, occurs in January. And the average temperature in Pittsburgh then hovers somewhere between hold my beer and fuck this shit. Which means that they're usually splashing butt-ass naked in an Appalachian slush puppy. They call themselves the Polar Bear Club, in their annual dive the Polar Bear Plunge. Perhaps, while hearing that paragraph, an image of a polar bear plunger plopped into your head. Without knowing anything about you, I know, I am certain, that the bare-chested, shivering, and possibly inebriated person you envision having to be white. And not just because whiteness is such the American default that it has even colonized our imaginations, but because willingly exposing yourself to frostbite, hypothermia, and a trillion-year half-life Mon Valley isotopes floating downstream is about as that's some white people shit as that's some white people shit gets. Only someone so comfortably ensconced in privilege that they need to find ways to fabricate closest to death to feel alive would leave their bed and blanket and house and clothes and city and the tens of thousands of years of civilization devoted to finding more efficient ways to protect us from the elements in the dead of winter to belly flop in a billion gallons of toxic ice. It's so white that if you happen to be a non-white member of the Polar Bear Club, and it doesn't matter if you're Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Shaka Khan, or Shaka Zulu, you become, from the time you remove your clothes to the time you climb back out of the water, white by osmosis. I've always been captivated by this peripheral effect of whiteness. With a cushion of pervasive and metaphysical consequencelessness is so soft and thick that adversity must be conjured for neurons to fire and fight or flight to engage. This characteristic is so embedded in what we've come to know of what it means to be white, the whiteness's unyielding affinity for artificial kamikaze is the standard for what falls beneath the that's some white people shit umbrella. I'm especially enthralled by extreme sports, where white boys from Montana and Arizona and West Virginia perform athletic feats and competitions whose only purpose for existing is to bring participants close enough to death to give it an Eskimo kiss. The contests themselves don't excite me that much. I just love hearing these niggas talk when they're done, because they speak in quotes that sound like the names of embargoed Axe body sprays. Bro, that cliff dive was a freaking blast. It was such a rush to gator punch that nasty crevice in that furious creek, even after I was swarmed by a batch of cave crickets and that mountain lion. But I took a generous swig from my energy pack, felt the brain freeze, rode the wave of my adrenaline, ignored my eyeball sweat and ruptured spleen, and pulled through. Having to go through such extreme limbs to feel a rush is an alien concept for me, since Living While Black has provided me with enough thrills to make Wes Craven scream. Whenever I'm followed by a police officer while driving, for instance, the theme song for Mission Impossible plays on loop in my head, and the mental checkness I run through reminds me of Ethan Hunt attempting to defuse a nuclear warhead. Okay, people, relax. Stay calm and do exactly what I tell you. Make a sharp right at this light to see if he's following us or if he just happens to be behind us. Complete right turn. Cop follows. Okay, that's fine. Stay calm. We will be all right. Listen to me, people. We will be all right. A person named Kay gets hysterical. Stay with me, Kay. Stay focused, Kay. We will get through this together. Splashes some kombucha on Kay's face. Kay regains her composure. Okay. Now slowly and deliberately turn the music down. The volume is at 89 and the bass is on 100. And we're going to need those numbers to be 13 and 7. We can do this. We've been trained to do this. Let's go. The volume knob is gently and steadily turned to the left. A single bead of sweat drips on the dashboard. What's the status, Frank? Someone named Frank replies. The volume situation has been neutralized. The volume situation has been neutralized. Okay, great. We're not out of the woods yet, though. Kay, what's taking so long with the music? Why are we still listening to Rick Ross? I just can't find. There are just too many songs on the Spotify playlist to choose from. These choices are overwhelming. I don't know what to do, Damon. I don't know what to do. Also, I'm pregnant.